Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for tuning in, for praying for us, for sharing the podcast. God bless you. Another treat today, we get to catch up with the Alex McFarland and see what's happening in his neck of the woods in North Carolina and his travels across the country and elsewhere. And we're going to talk about Disney, the left, woke culture, how the left is doubling down and not really taking heed to the new seemingly a culture shift, maybe to the right, maybe a little bit toward conservatism after the last 4 years of the Biden administration. But we'll get to that. Let's bring in our brother, Alex McFarland. And so good to see you again. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you, David. I have such respect for what you're doing. Not only you're just a gifted communicator, but the fact that you're doing the biblical worldview and the current events from the lens of scripture. I'm always honored to speak with you.
Exactly. You nailed it. And I'll give the website, of course, friends, alexmcfarland.com. I want to talk to you first, Alex, about conversations that matter. And this sounds wonderful. It says, I love the warning, though, on the website. Attendees come away thinking for themselves, using truth as the basis for their beliefs. Alex McFarland Ministries cannot be held responsible for substantial improvements in reasoning and decision making. I like that disclaimer. Tell us about it.
Well, I appreciate that. It's funny. I've got the brochure right here, Conversations That Matter. You know, for 11 years, I was a youth pastor, and I began to, in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, I would book the local Coliseum, and I brought in speakers that I just felt like people needed to hear. And David, over the years, we've booked everybody you've ever heard of, like Chuck Colson, James Dobson, Ravi Zacharias, Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell, you know, all these great thinkers. And this summer, though, we're doing this particular speaker series. Now, I'm on the road. I'm in a pulpit somewhere every Sunday morning. And then we've got seven summer youth camps across the country. But in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, Myrtle Beach is the number one resort city in America, 17.2 million people a year from all 50 states come to what they call the Grand Strand, Myrtle Beach. And there are a lot of theaters here. Myrtle Beach has a kind of a music industry, almost like Branson, Missouri. Huh. So we've rented a couple of great theaters. A week ago, we brought in Dinesh D'Souza, great political science thinker. June 15, we have Gary Chapman. He famously wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. And then we're bringing in Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA and Lauren Green of Fox News. But if I can give that website, it's just alexmcfarland.com/conversations. Because here's what we're trying to do, David. We want to raise the intellectual quotient of the Christian community in America. And, you know, the Dinesh event that we just had, I've known Dinesh about 17 years. He's a great friend. Just brilliant speaker. We had people come from Indiana. I mean, half the nation away. We had people come from about 15 states to see and hear Dinesh D'Souza. It was really great. And at all of our events, we have an open Q&A. We let the speakers speak. We do open Q&A. Gary Chapman, case in point, we call him America's relationship doctor. And he has said to me that in 50 years of counseling, he has never met a couple whose marriage couldn't be saved. Wow. If they would be intentional about knowing your partner's love language and speaking to that. And yes, folks, if you come to hear Gary Chapman on June 15, he's going to speak. I'm going to share just a brief gospel presentation, but there's open Q&A. And so I want to encourage people to please pray about these speakers. And then the other thing, David, we'll have 1,200 teenagers in seven youth camps all summer long, Montana and upstate New Jersey in the Hudson River Valley, Richmond, Virginia. And so the website for our Biblical Worldview Summer Camp is equipretreat.org. Please pray about that. And as we've done for 25 years, we never, ever, never turn a child away. Any kid that wants to come to camp, they'll come. And so last year we had over 168 kids pray to accept Christ. Most of our kids have come two and three summers. They love it. Awesome. We got fun camp stuff, zip lines, hiking, roasting marshmallows over the fire. But we talk about God's word, and we talk about what it means to be a disciple.
Powerful. Excellent. Excellent. You're doing so many great things, Alex, and I want to get to journalism in a minute. But I saw your program maybe more than once. Maybe you replayed it on NRB with Lauren Green. Great conversation. Oh, yeah. It went by way too fast. It's only a half hour, right? It went by way too fast with her. So she's in the media. There we go. And she's going to be back in for Conversations That Matter on the speaker series September 14. I want to give you an opportunity just to share just a little bit of what you asked me to pray about before we got on the podcast here, because I think that's really important what you're doing. I started writing and blogging because of the lack of truth in the media, in the public square, in journalism. I wrote a whole chapter years ago on what happened, what the media did to Sarah Palin when she was on the VP ticket with John McCain, and I think 2008 for that election. And it was horrific. What the state of journalism today. So you're looking at a building possibly that you need a prayer about, and you want to start a Christian journalism school. Tell us more about that and just nutshell it for us.
Well, God bless you. Yes, our ministry, we've existed for 25 years, and largely Alex McFarland Ministries and Truth for a New Generation, we started out doing conferences and events. And we are in the process of, literally, even as we speak, making an offer on a building in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the former First Presbyterian Church is up for sale. And there was an entity that was going to make it into a bar. And every time I would drive past it, I just prayed, Lord, please, could we have this facility? Because we've been looking at property for about a year now, a place to start a Christian college. Now, there are a lot of Christian colleges, but my background in worldview and apologetics, and then for 10 years, I have taught political science at the college level. I'm adjunct at several universities, but the real dream, David, is to start an overtly Christian school of journalism. And some of our core values, obviously the gospel and the biblical worldview. But we love America. And one of the things that I teach about is American exceptionalism. We are not globalists. We are not Marxists. We're not woke. And I've been told by some colleagues that to start an overtly Christian, constitutionalist, moral truth, a biblical worldview school of journalism would be just an impossible task. And humanly it would be, but I just would ask people to pray for us as we are working to acquire a gloriously beautiful facility. For us to operate our ministry and start our college. But David, I'm a believer in sacred space, that I would rather this church be torn down than to become a bar. You know? And so anyway, our ministry is in the midst of some exciting things, some pretty big steps of faith. And I value yours and everyone's prayers.
Yeah. Yep. So, friends, pray about that. Pray for God to intervene there. And it's impossible with man, right? That they said they'll never sell. And now you said a couple of weeks ago, they said, hey, it's up for sale. You saw. So, you never know what God is going to do, but you know what he can do, the impossible. So, friends, pray for that. There is a need. If there wasn't a need, if this is something that you were doing that was extravagant or something in ministry, no, it's not. It's not about entertainment. This is about really getting back to the truth and truth in journalism, such a need in America. And our viewers have seen us do programs on Media Research Center and what the left is doing and just how they own that institution in America. It's just tragic. But there is new media now, so that's a good thing. And we need Christians to get involved. So, Alex, one of the reasons – oh, go ahead.
Hey, forgive me. I got to tell you a story. One of my first introductions to spin. Do you remember the movie? And I suppose this was 20 years ago now, but the movie, the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Of course. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing some work for a ministry, and I actually was invited to a private screening of that with Mel Gibson. And I went to Florida with a few other ministers, and we saw a rough cut, and I was just moved to tears, how just moving that film was. So I told our board in Greensboro, North Carolina, when the movie releases, I want to rent a theater and show this. Well, long story short, we rented two theaters for two screenings, and we invited the local rabbi and the Jewish community. So we had the privilege of showing the Passion of the Christ film to a theater full of precious Jewish people in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, there had been stories about that movie was going to incite violence against Jews and anti-Semitism, which it didn't do. But at any rate, that was kind of the narrative. Now, before the film, I had a really great meeting with Jewish leaders and the local rabbi. And so the night we showed the film, we did a Q&A, myself and the rabbi, and it was just as amicable. It was everybody came away. We were moved by the film. And, frankly, it was a great gospel witness to hundreds of people. Well, anyway, the newspaper was there to interview the rabbi and myself. And it was just as warm and collegial. And the rabbi said, Reverend McFarland has shown so much love, and this is good. This is interfaith dialogue, right? The next morning, on the front page of the Greensboro News and Record, guess what it said? It said, you could cut the tension with a knife. Passions ran high. What would it be? Would it be the screening of a film, or would violence erupt? One just didn't know. And I called, I said, hey, I don't know what event they were at, but you and I had a great, you and I and 500 moviegoers had a great night last night. He goes, hey, basically he said, Alex, the more you interact with media, this is just how it is, kid. And I remember thinking, what you read about in the newspaper the morning after was 1,000% not the event we had had the night before. David, I think that's how I first began to get the vision that we need more truth tellers in media.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a story too. I don't remember if I even told this. Years ago, when was this? It was something that the marriage amendment in California, I think, was the big debate. And John Stewart's producer called me and wanted me to be on his show because my first book came out. And they knew I was a right winger, right? They knew I was a truth proclaimer and defender. And they just wanted to make fun of Christians, basically. I said, will there be the entire segment shown live, uncut, unedited? They said, no, we can't do that. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to agree to that. You're just going to, make fun of Christians. And they did. I saw who went on there. Who was it? Matt? Was it Matt Slick? Is that his name?
Oh, I know Matt. Yeah. He's an apologetics blogger.
Yep. He was the one that they got because a couple of us said no. But he went on there, and sure enough, he answered truthfully in a Christian way, lovingly, but they just put him down, made him look like it just was so poorly done. I was just so disappointed that they did the segment anyway. But you're right. This is what the left wants to do. This is what the media is doing now. They're stirring up, making Christians look like the bad guys, Christian nationalists in America, Trump bad, Republicans bad, Christian conservatives. But I'm preaching to the choir. We're with Alex McFarland. We've got to take a brief pause. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey friends, right now our Judeo-Christian Online Academy Freedom Project is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com to save 15%. Use the code David15, that's David15, to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. So now, Alex McFarland, let's talk about Disney. Let's talk about how this what they do continually, time after time again. They don't learn their lesson. I don't think they want to, even though we heard money talks, but they've lost a lot of money on going woke. And they're not exactly going broke, but let's go back to a movie that they put out. They redid Snow White. Why? I don't know. They have their reasons. But they had to make it woke. So share a little bit about this and talk about how big of a problem this is, not just with Disney, but just the entertainment industry.
Yeah, well, do you know, David, when I worked for Focus on the Family for James Dobson, I wrote for Plugged In magazine that we would do movie and media reviews to try to help parents mm-hmm. make healthy, God-honoring entertainment choices for their families. And David, time and time again, what we would call family fare did well at the box office. Movies that were wholesome and positive and moral, and maybe they were or weren't overtly Christian, like, you know, Facing the Giants and Fireproof and things like that. There were movies that were overtly, explicitly Christian, and they always do very well. But just movies that are wholesome and positive, and they don't have profanity, and they don't have, you know, gratuitous scenes. They did well. In other words, family fare sells.
Yes.
So you would think that the Disneys and the entertainment machines would understand this. And the recent Snow White, it's kind of old news, and I'm glad it is. But Disney probably lost well north of $200 million on that film. And in fact, you know, one thing, because Disney was, they were mining their back catalog and making live action renditions of what were once cherished cartoons.
Classics. Yeah.
Classics. And there were several that were kind of, we were told, on deck, but with the monumental financial bomb that was the woke Snow White in March 21st of 25. The live action remakes are now scrapped. And I think that would be good. But parenthetically, let me just say this, what a lot of people don't realize about Snow White. The original authors were Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm, G-R-I-M-M, Grimm's Fairy Tales. What a lot of people don't realize is that coming out of, you know, post-Reformation Germany, the Grimm brothers were overt Christians, and that in Grimm's fairy tales, they were trying to set forth biblical principles. The Snow White, what were the dwarves in the Disney cartoon, were originally Snow White's seven guardian angels. Huh. And the long-awaited Prince Charming was a messianic figure. Hmm. And so I think it's worth noting that even overtly Christian stories lose their gospel edge in the hands of Hollywood filmmakers. But, you know, here's the thing. Worldview is present in art. Yes. And one of the things we try to get parents and certainly kids to do as well is to have discernment, you know, that when we look at life through the lens of Scripture, we understand that, yes, there's very much a narrative or a worldview in art, literature, music, film, television. There's definitely a worldview that even informs education. There's worldview that informs how history is taught, how economics even is taught. And, you know, David, when I was a youth pastor, it's funny, I completely attribute this to the Holy Spirit. It would be years before I met great people like Chuck Colson and great people like Lee Strobel and Norm Geisler and Summit Ministries, Jeff Myers and David Noble. But this is 30 years ago. I'm going to show my age. I would teach the youth of what I call the eight engines that drive the culture. And this is in the late 80s, man. And I said, okay, there's the home, the church, the classroom, the media, the marketplace, the judiciary, the arts, the sciences. Okay, home and family, we know what that is. Then there's church and ministry. And then there's media and journalism. And then there's the marketplace and the business world. And there's law, politics, the judiciary, the arts, the sciences. And I would tell my kids, and I still do, I would say, look, no matter where you go, maybe you're going to go into business, but let the Bible inform your business and your ethics. Maybe you're going to go into education. Maybe you're going to go into law or government. Maybe you're going to go into, you know, medicine, whatever. But no matter the realm of culture, let your biblical worldview shape your life, your priorities. And later on, I've learned sometimes people talk about the mountains of influence. But here's the point, folks. The engines that drive the culture, somebody's worldview is going to be in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Could be atheism, secularism, Marxism, wokeness, progressivism, or what has made our nation great for 2+ centuries, a biblical Judeo-Christian worldview. Amen. That's what we're trying to instill.
That's right. That's right. We need more of that. Boy, do we ever. So I want to go back 2 years ago. Lightyear and Strange World came out. Now, this is again Disney, but I remember this because I wrote an article on it. And they lost over $300 million that year. And you talk about this year with Snow White, over $200 million maybe. Their stock plummeted. What was that?
That Disney may lose an estimated $295 million on this particular stuff. I mean, that's big money.
Yeah, you know, so that says even back then it was $300 million with these two. So it shows there's an ideology that maybe trumps money, which is really interesting, the demonic ideology that they can't – it's got a grip on the entertainment industry. Knowing they lost public support – and over a quarter of $1 billion on just those two animated films. Right after that, 2 years ago, you know what Disney did? They doubled down. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to host After Dark Pride Nights. What do they call it? Pride After Dark? After there it is. That's the one coming up this summer. Now, we're not putting that up, friends, to promote it. We're just saying Disney is not just putting it in their films. They're putting LGBTQ plus characters. They're putting woke garbage in where the classics used to be. They're changing things. But at their theme parks, they're going Pride. They're going Rainbow. Now, this is Disneyland After Dark, they might argue. But they've also had days where, anyway, stuff that children shouldn't be at the park and being a part of. But Alex, they're doubling down. They're not learning. So I don't think they want to learn. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that our nation, the very future of our country hangs in the balance because of these ungodly destructive ideologies that are being driven. And by the way, let me just say regarding LGBTQ trans, I say this not only as a minister and a Bible believer, but I say this as having done, you know, in my grad program, a master's in developmental psych. No one is born gay. No one is born trans. Same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria, both of these, same-sex ideation and gender confusion, both of these are responses to trauma. So what is so sad, economics aside, that these woke companies, whether it be Disney or whomever, that are promoting destructive orientations. I mean, those that identify as trans and those that get into the gay lifestyle are much, much more likely than the rest of the general population to suffer depression, suicide attempts, substance abuse on purpose. So people are born male and female, and there is an objective moral code on which our Constitution rests. And so Disney, in promoting Pride Week, Pride After Dark, LGBTQ trans, they're destroying people's lives and weakening the fabric of the country itself.
Fact check true on all of what you just said there. That is absolutely true. And by the way, you mentioned Summit Ministries earlier. Love Summit. We've had Jeff Myers on the podcast. I want to mention an article that they put out a couple months ago on this. It's called Win or Lose the Culture War. So friends can go look that up at summit.org, Win or Lose the Culture War. Alex, in the last minute and a half, just share your heart to encourage our audience, because especially with young families raising children, they find this so difficult because of what they are bombarded with today. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, let me encourage people to, obviously, life's number one assignment is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is as close by as a prayer. But then maximize on your family. Men, stay true to your wives. Young people, get married, stay married, have children. You'll be happy. You'll be much, much more likely to be economically prosperous. Family is the future, really. And so, David, if we have a nation of Christian families, America is going to be in good care.
Yes, and then live that out in culture, outside of church walls, Monday through Saturday, and be the salt and light we're called to be. Don't back down, friends. And we just appreciate your ministry and your time, Alex. Thanks again. Good to connect with you, brother. And God bless your endeavor, and hopefully people will be praying for that possibility of that Christian school. Thanks.
Bless you, my friend. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. All right, guys, continue to share the podcast. It's growing. Praise God. Thanks to you. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.